Okay, so we can resume the lecture. Before the break, we saw how we can use the object relational mapping to map between the databases and the objects. So what we were trying to do is we were trying to save the access the databases elements in the applications using the object relational mapping. That means that we try to map the classes in the application constructs to the data in the databases. So each of these classes might have different data types and they have their own data. And each of this data is separately stored in the databases using this ORM. Now what we can do in the NoSQL basis, that means that not only SQL databases, we will not have the databases as tables in the database, but we can save the complete objects, documents, XML files, key values, tuple stores, that means the rows, and the columns as a full elements into the database. So if we have this database, we can create an object. It could be a full file, it could be a class in your application, and instead of saving the data from this object into the database elements, rows and columns, you can save the full object as it is in the database. Similarly, you can have the documents. So if you have a document, instead of saving the text from the documents as separate data in your database, you could save the full documents as a database. That means that we will not have this conventional database used in this case, but we will have an application defined databases that you can store these objects, documents, XML files and different files as a separate complete entity in a database. So that means that we are not going to use the traditional databases in which we can use the SQL queries to access the data elements, but we can use content specific databases. If it's a document, it will be a document database. If it's an object, it will be an object database. If it's an XML file, then XML have its own specific database. So XML store databases. Okay, and then we could have key values where we define the data type or the field and then the value that is stored with that. So those are the key values or tuple results or tuple stores. We will see them very quickly in the next slides. So you can read the very first line. So it's just a sort of a joke, okay, that explains that a database administrator walks into a NoSQL bar, okay, but turns and leaves because he could not find a table. That means that in the conventional databases, we have table representations. Okay. But in this kind of non-conventional databases, we do not have tables. That means we will not have the traditional SQL queries, but we will save these elements as objects or documents or XML files in a separate database. Okay. So these are the different types that could be stored as their own database. Okay. So object database, an object database oriented database system must satisfy two criteria. Now if you remember from the object oriented programming classes, that in this classes you have to have all those criteria defined for the object-oriented approach. If you are using the classes, that means that you need to make sure they are abstract in some cases. They have data encapsulated in each class. The data might not be visible to the other classes if it's private. If it's public, the other methods can access those data. You can manipulate those data using the methods which are defined in the class. You cannot directly access the data. You can have static data elements, you can have dynamic data elements. So these are all the different properties of the classes that we have been might have used. And then you have the concept of inheritance. So you can define a base class or an abstract class, and you can inherit it into the other classes. For example, if you have a person class, which is an abstract class, and students are persons, teachers are persons, employees are persons, other staff members are persons, so you can have all these separate classes which inherits from the base class. So when we are talking about object databases, that means that it needs to satisfy two criteria. The first one is that it should be a database management system. So you need to use a database management system that allows you to store the full objects or classes as a data type. You do not need to extract the values and the data for those classes to save in the database, but you should be able to save the full documents as a database. Okay. So then it should be a database management system, and then you need to satisfy all the properties of the relational database management systems. Okay. That means it should be persistent, it should support secondary storage management, it should be concurrent, you do not have any issues in the data redundancy. You might not have any different kinds of conflicts in the database. You should be able to recover it, and you can have ad hoc query facility. So that means you can query the databases. That allows you to index your documents in a database management system. So you can search the document by its name, by its type, by its author's creation time, creation date, when the document was modified. And you are able to do it if you have the database representation which supports these kinds of different non-SQL based data types. Okay. And then as we have said that if we are talking about the object databases, that means that these should satisfy the object oriented criteria. So it should be an object oriented database management system. Okay. And then it should be able to support complex objects, object identity, encapsulation, types of classes, inheritance, and all these different properties that you should be able to associate with the classes in the programming paradigm. And this is an example. It's a Java code which actually manipulates the object directly. Now here you see that you have an object store, and you are directly updating the object in that case. So you are checking that if your object is not created, you are creating a database of all users, and this all users is of type object in that case. Okay. And then if the username is already there, you do not commit the query, you just abort the query. Now this has its own syntax because this is a Java code. Okay. And it's using the methods and the functions, but this is just to let you know that you could have an encapsulated database query mechanism defined for that particular data object type that you are trying to either save, retrieve, update, or store. Okay. And then in that case, we are checking that if the user does not exist in the database itself for this document, we can generate a random number in that case as a unique ID, and then we can create a new data and we can directly access the object store. Okay. And then we can commit the query. So we can add the rows into this object file by directly manipulating the data in this case. Okay. Now, then we could have document stores also. So in this case, we have object stores. We can have document stores also. That means this document store will act as a database, which does not need to have the separate database in that case. Okay. So the documents are like records in a relational database, okay, but semi-structured. They are not well organized. They are not well structured as in case of the conventional databases where we have the tables and the rows in that case, and therefore with less rigid schema. Okay. That means that the schema is not that restricted. We cannot confine the documents as we could have done it with these attributes and with the entities elements in the conventional SQL databases. Okay. And for this kind of representation for the document store databases, we could use any of these encoding mechanisms. For example, we could use the XML representation to store the data of the document. Okay. For example, if you go to any of these online paint application sites or drawing application websites, and you can draw anything online, and it allows you to save the application, the file in different formats. You can download it as the XML format. Okay. So if you have created some figures and some shapes or ear diagrams in any of these online editors, you can store it as an XML file. And if you store it as an XML file, you will see that it creates all those different elements which are associated with the document properties itself. That what was the height of the entity or the square or the blocks that you created? What was the color of the triangle that you created? Okay. It keeps all those informations, and you can encode that file. And then you can save that XML file that represents that diagram or entity relation map, okay, into any of these document stores. Or you could use the JSON or the BSON. Okay. So JSON is the JavaScript object notation, which is based on the JavaScript. And that is quite similar to how the XML documents look like. So we will see some of the examples of JSONs also in this case. So these are the different encoding mechanisms using which you can have the document, convert it into the appropriate representation, and then save that representation in a database file. So then the traditional databases such as Oracle, SQL, you could use those databases to store the full XML file, okay, for each of these rows. But you are not using the values from this document into the table and the columns here. But what you are doing, you are saving the full document into the database. Okay. But first you need to convert it into the representable form. You need to encode it. And the encodings could be done using the XML, JSON, or binary formats. For example, as you have MS Office documents or PDF documents. Okay. And those documents provide you different functionalities to search multiple documents also. Okay. Like your directory system in your computers, you can use the search field or search finder to search all these documents. And these documents, if you have indexed them, they are stored as the document stores in your computers. Okay. And then documents typically organized in a collection. That means that you can search it via unique keys, tags, contents. You can search the documents with its name, with its type, with its creation date, author. And if you have different fields specified for it, you can use all those matching criteria to search and retrieve your documents. But in that case, the document will be stored as a full in a single row or in a single value itself in the databases. Okay. And then we have Mongo database code. I just spoke with Rune earlier in the morning, and he said he will explain and give you a case study for this. So I will not go into this code. So I assume he will do it. So XML databases. As we have objects, we have documents, we have XML files also. And these XML databases are specifically designed for XML files. Okay. Because we said that the XML files can separate out the data from the application, and it can encapsulate data in a nice structured format and in a user-defined format. And then we can use this XML files to save as the XML databases. The same concept that we used here. So we have a document, we convert it into, if we convert it into XML encoding, we can use the XML databases to save that. If you are using JSON encoding, we can use the appropriate databases to store this document. If it's an XML file, we can just convert it into the XML database representation and store it. So what are the advantages of this? So based on the XML model, not the relational model, that means that we do not have the entity relationship between any of these different objects that we have in a conventional database. Okay. So if you have a conventional database and if you have entities, for example, you have employee, you have organization, you have staff, you have members, you have addresses, phone numbers. These are all the entities and different attributes that you can use to create your database, your table, and then you can apply up till fourth normal form to normalize your databases. But in that case, you will have atomic values for each of these database fields. But in this case, we do not have the separate individual values stored in the database, but the full documents are stored in the database. And the document could be as long as it can be. Okay, so it could be a Word document, a PDF document, or it could be anything. Okay, so we first need to encode it using different encoding schemes, either using XML, JSON, BSON. BSON is the binary JSON. Or you can have binary formats like your PDF do it, or your Word documents are stored. They are stored in the binary representation. Okay. So based on the XML model, not the relational model, supports XML queries language. That means that if you have an XML databases, you can directly use the XML query to access the data. You do not need to use the SQL queries. Okay. And then mostly used for narrative documents. We have seen one of the examples in the styling sheet. When we were applying the styling sheet to the XML file, we saw that we could get the constant text and the data values all displayed in the browser as an XHTML file. And those were the narrative documents in which you have quite a lot of constant or static text also. So these are XML databases are best to describe those kinds of documents. And in that case, then we need to have two types of documents that we can create. The first one is focused on the text-based if the document is quite narrative. If the document is only focusing on the data, that means that your XML file only contains the data fields. It does not contain any text. So if it's a data-centric element, then we can do that. And in that case, we could use the model-based stores like the DOM objects. Okay. And then the XML databases supports all these different functionalities to query the database, to select the fields in the database, to retrieve the elements, to update the fields. And it also provides different functionalities. That means you can do all these transactions, select, insert, update, within the XML databases using the XQuery in this case, not the XML, but the not the SQL, but the XQuery in that case. Okay. And then it provides you security also. That means that the security that we have in case of classes, you have the object security, you have the data secure in each class because it's encapsulated and hidden. And then you could have multi-user access, programmatic APIs. Many applications provide you the API interfaces to access the XML databases directly. So you could use those XML databases in your application through your program without the need of ORM. Okay. So you remove the middle layer in that case. You can directly access those. And then you can use the query language to access the data in that case. Here's another example, which is the PHP exit code in this case. And what we see here is we're creating a database and connecting it. And here you see a query where for line in speech speaker equals to here we have the predicate logic. So you are using the query. So here in this case we have only defined the query and then we are executing the query in this case to check what we are trying to access from the database. Okay. Yep. And then we are displaying the results in the variables. This is a JavaScript code. Okay. No, this is the PHP code. Yes, sorry. Yeah. But anyhow, you do not need to worry about the code and the syntax at this point. You just need to understand the different concepts, how we can use these and how we can apply them. Okay. Now, then we have the white column stores. As you have seen that we can have objects, documents, XML types, we could also create if you have a sparse data and the data is distributed amongst different locations, okay, and the data is persistent and multidimensional across all these different copies of the databases, okay, in that case, we could write complex database representations and store them as all the column fields, okay, in the database. So instead of saving the full document, we could have long columns. Okay. That means that you merge two to three different fields of the columns in a single row, right? So this is used by the Google's big table. So in that case, once we have the sparse data, the data is quite sparse. It's not concentrated. It's not limited to a certain scope. It's scattered. And you could have different types of data elements associated with the data. And you could have multiple copies of the data. Then in that case, you could use this kind of database representation. Okay. The map is indexed by a row key, column key, and a timestamp. So here in this case, you see that you could have certain contents which actually constitute one column of the actual table, and then you could have the backup files or the schema. In this case, we have a CNN schema instance which is defined for all of these HTML pages. Okay, and these are all the different pages of the website called CNN. Okay, and then you could have different replicas of the web pages. It could be either backups or it could be the different pages for different countries. Okay, so if you are accessing the CNN website from Norway, you should be directed to the Norwegian page. If you are accessing it from UK or somewhere else, you should be able to get that. So all this is part of the document which belongs to a single object in that case, and the object is this website. So the website consists of pages. All these pages are given here. Okay, it could have schema instance or the different XML formatting instructions, or it could have document type descriptions or definitions also. So we could represent all these files as a single row. So the row is of type strings, column is of type strings, and then you could have time or different elements also. So here we see that it's all derived from the string element in that case. Okay. So there are different representations of how you can store your documents directly as a database without the need of the conventional database where you would use the SQL queries. Okay. And then we have key value databases. The key value is that you will have a name, let's say, and then the value that it contains. So you will have a pair of two values. Okay, so you will have value 1 and value 2, and these values might contain some indexing information. Okay, so the first value might contain the indexing to where the actual tuples or rows are stored. Okay, and there could be different combinations that could be used in the key value representation. So database consists of key value pairs. So you will have a pair in that case. You will have the name of the, could be the ID, okay, or could be the element, and then the actual value that is contained in that element. Okay. I think there is one example in the next slide, so I can explain that in the coming slide. But HTML5 uses this kind of key value databases to index the HTML pages. Okay, so they have indexed databases which you can use in the HTML5. So if you are creating HTML5 web pages, you can sort those pages and save those pages as indexed pages. So then it becomes very easy for anyone to access the page that you are looking for. So in that case, object stores for holding key value pairs. So the key values are stored as objects, and indexes on top of object stores. So each object has an ID or an index. So you have different objects and you have an index or an ID value through which you can access those objects. And those could be given in the first value. Okay, so the name of the object, and then the second value could contain the reference to the index where this object resides. For example, CNN page, object 1. So object 1 reference will be, let's say, ID 1. So it will be ID 1 here, and that's the object name. So you will have these kinds of pairs saved as databases. Okay. Cursors to iterate indexing and or objects. So you need to iterate on the multiple objects using this index key. So you can consider these objects as a collection of array. So all of your objects are stored and stacked on one top of other. and then you can use the index to access them, and then you can use put, delete and get operations, and you can do all those kinds of transactions to commit the values into these kinds of object databases. And this is an example where we are creating an object store, and here we see that we are defining the key path, one value, and the auto increment, that is the second value. And then we are also defining the index in that case. That means that this will be the index. It's not a unique index. That means this index could be repeated for different objects in that case. And we are creating a row. So each object is treated as a separate row, and in that row you assign these pair values. And you can keep adding these pair values of the document into these objects. Okay, so until now we have seen how we can store these different documents. Now we have looked at the XML files also, and in the XML we saw that we have full XML documents, and then we have DOM or node representations in the XML file when we create the tree structure. Okay. So in that case we can directly store the full XML file as a database, XML database. Okay. Or we can only store the nodes information at the higher hierarchy level or the top hierarchy level that the application might access immediately. Okay. Because if your XML files are quite large, you may not need to save them directly into the representation in your memory as a database if your application is not going to use it, because then it will be just occupying the space in your memory. So you could pick only those nodes which your application might want to access in the near future, and then you can use that. So some applications may want to retrieve complete XML documents for further processing. If you are creating a DOM tree representation, that means that the XML file needs to be preloaded first, or especially for narrative XML documents, or and also if you are trying to process those documents in the XML parser to display it on the websites. Okay. Others may only need to retrieve a few nodes within that document. And if your XML file is data-centric file, that means it might have many different data types of the classes, for instance. So you have classes, let's say person, students, teachers, employees, staffs, you have all these classes. And the XML file will contain all these different tree nodes in that classes. Okay. And if your application, you just want to like access the students class, you will not need to save the full XML document as the databases, but you will only save the nodes which are important for this application. Okay. Now storing XML in relational databases. Now we are coming back to how we can store the XML into the relational databases. So motivation for storing XML in relational databases: XML data is mixed with regular database data. Okay. Now we are coming back from NoSQL into the SQL and the conventional databases. Now in sometimes quite often what happens is that your XML stores the data as a separate element, and that separate element is the same structured stored in your databases. Okay. So in your databases you will have tables. Tables is divided into rows and columns, and each cell contains a single value, and each single value can be treated as an element in the XML file. So what happens in today's era now is that quite often the XML contains the same data representation, same schema as you would have in the databases. Okay. So either you can store your XML data file, if it's narrative then it's better to store it as the XML databases. If it's data centric, that means it only contains the data elements, it does not contain the text formatting or other things, then you can store it as the conventional databases. Okay. And many companies such as the SQL and the Oracle, they have already mechanisms to store the XML files and certain nodes from the XML into these conventional databases. And you can do it as a CLOB. CLOB is the character long object file. So you can have the CLOB representation of the XML file and then save it into the conventional databases. Okay. So what happens is that the technology is progressing so fast that there are quite many different frameworks and different methodologies, but those giants in the industry, such as the Oracle, they need to retain the development, let's say, companies and the development applications keep using their databases. So they are providing provisions to these XML and new technologies to incorporate in the conventional databases. Okay. If we can save those XML files as in XML databases, no one will be using the Oracle in that case. Okay. So that's why they are providing certain functionalities and features using which you can still keep those XML files as an objects into the conventional databases. Okay. So that's the motivation for storing the XML in relational databases, even though there are other alternatives using which we can save the XML files as XML databases, not into the conventional database. Okay. So some relational database management systems such as MySQL and Oracle provides XML tools and functionalities to do this. Okay. And then the conventional database has its own advantages. Okay. Now, how they achieve this? They achieve this by providing a CLOB mechanism. Okay. So XML documents is stored as long text file, where the CLOB is a collection of character data in database management systems, usually stored in a separate location that is referred in the table itself. Okay. So the CLOB is a separate representation of the element in the database. It's not like the representation as you would have with the normal database, okay, table representation in this case. But you could save these files as character long representation. Okay. So XML document is stored as a long text fields. So these oracles and different applications can save the complete XML file. Okay. So if the XML file has 100 lines, it will treat the document as a single row and save it as a long character object in this database. Okay. So application specific indexing and stored procedures may be developed for improving query performance. So in that case, you will naturally have different query representations. The way you actually create the queries might become more complex. You will not be able to simply use the select queries to select certain elements from this. You might need to use recursive queries, and you might have to rely on many different joins to pick the elements from these kinds of databases. Okay. So representing DOM nodes as relations, we can also talk about that. We can have the full tree elements saved as XML file into these databases. In some cases, we can also have the DOM representation, that what is the parent, what is the child, what are the siblings. We can save all those information in the databases also. Because when we are generating and accessing different elements, if you remember the XPath queries, and you can use these X-axis directions to traverse the different nodes in the DOM tree model, you need to have some sort of relationship defined between them. So in that case, the DOM nodes can be saved as relationships. So each type of DOM node may be stored in a separate table. Okay. Document parent, child, and sibling pointers implemented as foreign keys. So the relationship between these different entities in the DOM relationship can be transferred into the conventional data type by using the primary key and the foreign key attributes. This is best for simple and shallow data-centric documents. Otherwise, recursive joins necessary for retrieval. So if your document is data-centric, and if it's not that long, and if it's not narrative, that means you could do this kind of approach easily. But if you have narrative documents stored as CLOB files, and your relationship are defined as foreign key in these databases, then it becomes very difficult to query this conventional database, because each node is a full element. It has its own properties, it has its own attributes, it has its own further childs and subchilds. Then it becomes very difficult to retrieve the data that you are trying to access from the conventional databases. Okay. So representing tables and rows in XML, this looks very simple. Okay. So how we can create a table representation to store the elements in the XML, similar to how we would have it in the database representation. So the content of the relational database can be dumped in the simple XML form. Then it becomes very easy for you to transfer your data from the database into the XML document or the DOM object model to display it on the websites. Okay. And you can use this XML transformation to convert the data and import the data from your databases into the other format, such as the CSV file or simple text format, okay, or different application format that you would like to transfer your data. So you can use these kinds of representations for the XML when you are accessing the data from the databases. Okay. And then we have relational schema to and from. So that means that we can convert the relational schema from one format to the other format. So relational schemas to from XML schema. So if you have XML schema and if you have relational schema, using this representation, we can easily convert the data from this format, from the actual database, to the XML data type. And we can do it vice versa. Okay. But in that case, what do we need to have? We need to have a relational schema. We need to have this kind of table representation. So you should have a table template that you can populate for the XML data if you want to import the XML into this table. Okay. And we need to have the XML schema. You also need to define the document type definition or XML schema itself, so that when you are traversing and transporting data from databases to XML or from XML databases to conventional databases, you do not run into any of these data discrepancies issues. Okay. And then you will need to have mapping functions for converting between the schemas in that case. Okay. And there are many applications that already provides you with all these schemas, such as this NetBeans. If you are coding your application in Java, you could use the NetBeans. And the NetBeans have its own validator also that you could use to validate your document type definition, and you can validate your XML schema also. Okay. So you could write your XML documents in NetBeans also, or you could use some any other IDEs. So the next one is the JSON. It's a JavaScript object notation based on the XML. This is the latest version, which is quite commonly used in many of these applications these days. It's used because it's easy for humans to read and write, easy for machines to parse and generate, a text format that is completely language independent. Okay. And then a lightweight data interchange format and use conventions that are familiar to the programmers. Now you will see that the syntax of the JSON is very much similar to how the XML looks like. Okay. And it becomes very easy to represent the data in this JSON format. And many applications support the JSON format, and then you can use XQueries or different jQueries to query from this kind of data representation. Okay. So two basic data structures. We could have a collection of name or value pairs. Value pairs that we have seen something like this. And here you see the example of the value pairs. For example, we have a code and the value is RCK. Okay. The name of this element is rock. So we have a pair. Here we have a one pair and here we have another pair. Okay. So we could have similarly objects, records, structures, dictionaries and hash tables. So we could have the representation of the data in a single collection. Okay. Or we could have a list of this collection. We could have multiple lists of all these sequences and pairs, similar to as we would have in the lists, we would have in the sequences, and we would have in the arrays. So this is the representation of how you can structure your JSON data. And here you see an example. Okay. So here you have a product. Okay. And if you check that, the product is the main element or the root element in the XML file. Okay. And then you have different children's of that product. The first one is the item number, name, price and detailed information. Okay. And then you could have different products, items associated with this product. So the representation in the syntax is very much similar to how the XML file looks like. But many applications supports this JSON also because it becomes much more simplified to use it. But it still has some of its advantages and some of its drawbacks. Now this is the code in the JSON. Similar to XML, you can translate it into HTML, you can translate it into DOM structure, you can translate it into any other representation. Same is the case with the JSON. That's why it's quite commonly used, because it's machine and the platform independent and application independent. That means it provides a nice intermediate formatting for the applications to store and access the data. So we can convert the JSON file and we can decode it into a PHP objects format, into the .NET objects, into the Java code, or anything else we would like to do. And we can encode back, that means from any of these other different data representations, we can encode the data into the JSON representation. Okay. So if you are working in PHP, it provides you certain methods to do it. If you are working in .NET, they have its own methods and APIs to do it. If you are working in Java using NetBeans, it provides you its own functions and methods to do it. Okay. So, is JSON an alternative to XML? Naturally, it provides many of these advantages, but it has some drawbacks also. That's why we still need to rely on the XML technologies also. Okay. So JSON share many of these benefits or XML, such as self-documenting. We see that the structure looks very similar to how the XML file looks like. It is platform independent, human readable. If I just show you this file, you would be able to understand that what the contents of this file are. And then it supports hierarchical structures, much like the XML. Each element is nested if it's a child of the above element. Okay, so you could have different nesting levels. You could have different hierarchies. Can be better than XML. It could be simpler in some cases. Okay, and matches the data model of most programming languages. So many of these programming languages provides the support for the JSON. So you can directly use the data representation, not using the XML format if you're working in any of these programming interfaces, but you could use the JSON representation also. It depends upon what your application demands and what you are trying to achieve. Okay. But you have different technologies that you can make use of. And you can store the JSON files as the XML converted representation into the XML databases. So you do not need to use the conventional databases for smaller applications, let's say. Okay. So we have some drawbacks also. Okay. Does not have all the tools of XML yet for validation. We saw that XML provides the validations using document type definition and XML schema. And you have many online validators that you could use, or you could use built-in validators provided by your IDEs, okay, by your software applications. So NetBeans provides the validation mechanism to validate your XML file using your provided schema and using your provided document type definition, okay, which JSON cannot do it. So that means if you're programming with the JSON, you need to be very focused and you need to be make sure that whatever you are writing should be well formed. Okay. And only works for data centric applications. You cannot have narrative documents, as in the case of web pages. So that's why whenever you have fancy web pages, the data could be coming from the XML and it could have narrative static text also in the XML document. Okay. But you could not use for that purpose the JSON representation. JSON is mostly used for enterprise applications where you do not need to focus on the formatting of how the data looks like on your browsers, but how it is accessed between your application and the data. So what we have seen today now is the ORM. Just to give you the concept that what ORM stands for, it's a middle layer that communicates between the application and the databases. It provides different applications interfaces to access this element. We have four different types of approaches: table, gateway, rows gateway, active record and the data wrapper. Okay, and then this is what the ORM does it. Okay, and then we have NoSQL databases in which we do not have any tables. Right, remember that joke in the exam, otherwise you will not confuse, right? So you will not have any tables, so you are saving these objects, documents, directly as their own separate databases. And then at the end we saw the comparison between XML and JSON. Okay, so that's for today's lecture. In Thursday's lecture, Rune will give you a case study, a case example, and he will show you the code for this understanding of ORM in detail. So this lecture was just to mentor, give you a quick overview of what these terminologies are. Okay. If you have any questions, you can ask now or you can drop me an email. Okay, thank you.